Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
All right, Clint Sterner is out. He's in Mexico for his honeymoon, enjoying himself with his new beautiful wife. But in is 12-year NFL vet Wade Smith. He's in the building. You know him, a former Houston Texan, is with us. And J.J. Watt, we found out yesterday that he made the decision to sign with the Arizona Cardinals. This from Mary Kay Cabot, probably the best writer in Cleveland. The Browns didn't offer J.J. Watt more money than the Cardinals, despite a report of the contrary, sources say. Does it make sense that he would have turned down more from an 11-5 playoff team with a good quarterback? Hell yes, Mary, it makes sense, because the quarterback he's going to is better than Baker Mayfield. And it's Cleveland. One, nobody wants to live in Cleveland, including Figgy, who dipped. Nobody, including Cecil, who left. Yeah, nobody wants to live in Cleveland. Secondly, I don't know. I want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Around the league, I know athletes look at things differently than fans. But is there a bit of a negative, I mean, big-time negative mystique still with the Cleveland Browns in terms of, man, I don't want to go to Cleveland or Detroit?
Detroit, I would say yes. Cleveland, I don't know about that. I never had an opportunity to go on like a free agent visit to Cleveland or anything. Like, I have gone on a free agent visit to Buffalo, to where I could actually go around and see the city and see what it had to offer. And Cleveland is one of those places that you see, if you're a free agent, that it's up and coming as far as the pieces they have in place, the coaching staff, all those things. So you can, there's always good areas in every city. And there's always a nice area downtown or a nice area uptown or a suburb or
really
someplace.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
There, I mean, hey, man, people like different things. There's always some area in whatever city it may be that you could live in, where I'm sure a lot of people that are within the organization might settle down in, that you can say, hey, this is a cool place to be. But when you look at it, football-wise, the quarterback in Arizona is better than the quarterback in Cleveland. That's a big deal. When you look at it football-wise, I know Myles Garrett is in Cleveland, but it looks like Cardinals are going to have Chandler Jones and Hassan Reddick. That's a better situation. You also got to look at it football-wise. J.J.'s getting to play for Vance Joseph in a defense, and he mentioned that in his press conference today. It's in a defense that he had a tremendous amount of success in and that he's comfortable with and he's excited to get back into. What he would be doing in Cleveland might not quite be the same thing. So I could see him choosing Arizona over Cleveland. Cleveland was a great option. I find it interesting that a lot of reports are coming out. There was an initial report that said that the Colts and the Cleveland Browns paid or offered more money.
Yeah.
And that, what was the third thing? I think Tennessee offered a similar contract and he chose Arizona over those three. And then you're hearing reports like, no, we didn't offer him that money and we didn't offer him that much. And then you got people from Buffalo that are coming out saying that they're glad that he signed in Arizona because we didn't want him anyway. It's just funny how when he's available and you think you have a chance, we want him. He could be the difference maker.
Now.
And then as soon as he chooses somewhere else, he was injury prone anyway. It's just funny.
No.
It's funny how it works out. But I see these organizations are doing the same thing. You know, you got the report from the guy talking about that J.J. wasn't a good football player with all that, those rumors and stuff going out there. Did you make those statements before he signed the contract? I didn't hear anything about that before he signed his deal. It's just weird how stuff works out.
Yes, I think Arizona is a place that J.J. over the next 2 years could have a chance to play for a championship, because I don't think they're done. And you on the text line, this is what I love, baby. I'm about like that barbershop, that bar conversation. Really? Murray better than Baker Mayfield? Come on. No, you come on. It's not close. Kyler Murray is better than Baker Mayfield. Kyler Murray almost rushed for 1,000 yards last year. He is better, and he's better. He's got a better arm. He's more athletic. He can carry his team at stretches. Like, Baker has to have his running game with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb for him to play at his best. Like, Baker Baker got Odell and plays worse with the better receiver. Like, Kyler gets DeAndre Hopkins, and you see, oh, he's taking it up. No, yeah. It's not close, the quarterback.
Yeah, Kyler Murray, I mean, just straight up, and you can go to the stats, and the stats would prove it up, but even taking the stats out of the picture, the eye test, Kyler Murray is a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield. He's more dependable. You know what you're going to get out of him. He's not going to throw as many games away as what Baker Mayfield would do. Baker Mayfield, he's an improving player, but he's not improving at the rate that Kyler Murray is improving. And so if you project it out, if you're J.J. Watt, who's going to be a better quarterback for me this year and next year, the 2 years I plan on being in Arizona, I would have more belief in Kyler Murray than I would in Baker Mayfield.
Set, red 22. Hut.
All right, Wade, I think Jerry Jones is loving Russell Wilson right now because I think Russell Wilson, now in the last week, he's come out and said, no, I don't want to be traded. I'm fine in Seattle, but I do have four teams. And, of course, the Dallas Cowboys are one of them. And, of course, we're hearing a lot of talk with that. I think it created some small bit of leverage for Jerry Jones with Dak because, hey, hold up, dog. Chill out, Russ. Like, you have to know being the Dallas Cowboy quarterback means more than just right now. Then it means you could be Tony Romo down the line. You could be Troy Aikman down the line. When you're the Cowboy quarterback for a decade, you put yourself in a position to have big things happening for you on and off the field, especially when you're done. Russell Wilson, that's why they're on that list for him. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson sees how big of a deal it could be and how much it is to be the Dallas Cowboy quarterback. And I bet you Dak is potentially thinking to myself, well, hold on, man, let me get myself going here. Let me get myself going on here and not allow Russell Wilson to come in and try to take my seat, as Michael Irvin said the other day.
Well, I tell you what, Dak's biggest thing is he's coming off of an injury, so a lot of the leverage that he might have had going into his first year of being under the franchise tag, that's really out of the window. Right now he's going to coming out there and just trying to show that he's still Dak and he's going to continue to improve as a quarterback. So the Cowboys already have saved some money on Dak Prescott, per se, and what it would have potentially been. Even though if he was there this year, they likely would have made it to the playoffs because that division was absolute garbage. So they would have been in the playoffs this year, but since he was not, they were not. But Russell Wilson does give Jerry Jones just a little bit more in negotiations when you're saying, like, hey, you're not the only person that would like to be a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. No. I'm surprised you're not hearing more about Deshaun Watson ending up in Dallas, but you really haven't heard much about that. You talk about a reason for you not to wear a jersey anymore in the city. I could condone that. If Deshaun Watson ends up getting traded to the Dallas Cowboys, you can't wear that four jersey anymore.
Never? What about when he retired?
No. That's done. Because there's certain things that you can do and not do. And as a fan, that's the exception. I would co-sign you telling your kid, because I don't want your kid to get in a fight. I don't want your kid to get beat up. I don't want your kid to have to fight. Because those are grounds for having to square up in the schoolyard. So we don't want that. Because if Deshaun Watson get traded to Dallas, you know how many fights there's going to be inside around the water cooler in businesses in Houston and in Dallas?
Text line 713-572-4610. If Deshaun Watson got traded to Dallas and your kid kept wearing, and children were wearing Deshaun Watson Texans jerseys, do you believe that would start a fight at school?
No question. I have no doubt in my mind. It would start fights at certain schoolyards.
Would it start fights more if he wore
bars? It would start fights at
the Cowboys Watson or the Tech, either one of them.
If you still live in Houston and you put that jersey on, people would be like, "Why you got that on? Take that off." I could easily see that going down.
I hope not.
That's the blue 80, easy white 90.
All right, more news around the league. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network reports that Clowney, Jadeveon Clowney, is to be fully cleared on the medical front. In April, Clowney had surgery to repair his meniscus injury in his knee in late 2020. Clowney was limited to 8 games after signing with the Titans last year. He recorded 19 tackles and forced a fumble, but did not provide any kind of boost to the pass rush that the team was looking for him to move. All right, this is another year where Clowney is out there trying to get some sort of a deal. Are we past the point of believing Clowney can be an elite type player? Are we past that point? What kind of player would you say he is at this moment?
Well, he keeps getting paid like he's somewhat close to being an elite player. Getting these one-year deals for, you know, more than $10 million, that seems a pretty consistent deal for him. I don't know if he's that guy anymore because you have so many surgeries. You're coming off – you started off with the microfracture surgery that he had way back in the day. This was like, you know, I think that was like in 2014 or 15, somewhere around there. And once you have that surgery, even though he was young, it's still something that is always going to be in the back of teams' minds, going to be in the back of his mind, that too much wear and tear can cause him issues. And so you've seen that since then he's had some runs of really good play and high-level play, but he's consistently been out and missing times with injury. And so I don't know if you can consider him that way anymore. I think now you consider him a guy that is a supplemental guy, that if you can get something out of him, he can be somebody that you can get at a great value. But to think that he's going to continue to be getting those $12, $14 million, you know, one-year deals or whatever it might be, I don't know if that's going to happen any further.
No, yeah. I think he could be a help to you. If you are a team saying to yourself, he's got to be a playmaker for us the way I believe the Titans expected him, mm-hmm. then I think that's not what he can give you anymore. I think he can be really good against the run like he always has been and at times can get pressure on the quarterback, but not any kind of special. So I don't think you should overpay him or pay him like he is that type of player anymore.
Yeah, I wouldn't understand. I mean, I would be happy for him. Hey, get your money. But I would be surprised if a team did that once again after what happened in Tennessee last year and him coming off of a surgery.
There is a report of a team who would desperately love Deshaun Watson, and apparently there's a potential crazy deal on the table. We'll discuss that coming up next. Wade saved the segment as we're coming in.
You could at least play the...
No, he played the what?
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Clint Sterner is out today. He's in Mexico. Wade Smith is in. 12-year NFL vet. He's in with us today. Tyler's an asshat.
Is that song worse than Daddy Shark?
No.
Is this song right here worse than Daddy Shark?
Because Daddy Shark was at least made for kids. They tried to make this for adults.
This song was for adults?
I believe.
M-Bop? I don't remember it that way. I feel like this
at
was like for, yeah, like teens and younger. So I don't know. That would be very interesting if you tried to compare the two. Is M-Bop worse than Daddy Shark?
M-Bop is worse, and it's not even close.
Not even close.
It really is.
I do like Daddy Shark. People don't like it, but I like it.
My
youngest daughter and I, we bond to that.
Yeah, she plays it too much. So now I'm over. We got too many toys that has it. Too many games that has the song that she can play it.
As with any song, if you play it too much, it can get old really fast.
And one of the things that's probably going to get old really fast for folks is other people and reports coming out about potentially what could happen with Deshaun Watson. And Dan Silo is the latest. Dan Silo, who works for USA Radio Networks, he has a tweet that he just put out about 15 minutes ago. It looks like the Chicago Bears have a Herschel Walker-type deal on the table for the Houston Texans to get Deshaun Watson.
Herschel Walker, huh?
So Herschel Walker, that's, in my memory serves me correct, 3 first-round picks, multiple second-round picks, a third-round pick as well.
Where are the Bears getting those picks from. I just look at the Bears, and I don't know about their support. I cannot think of a scenario where the Bears can put a package together that says this is the best deal when you compare it to other teams out there that have the opportunity to distribute multiple first-round picks in this draft, first-round picks in future drafts, and players. It just, Chicago, I know they desperately would want Deshaun Watson, but I don't think they don't have the bullets in the chamber to make that deal happen. I do like Roquan Smith. He's a hell of a football player. Of course, Khalil Mack. But are you going to get rid of those guys and then still feel like you're going to be able to compete?
And do you want to take on Khalil Mack's contract at this point
right now? What does that do for the Texans? You got Khalil Mack. I don't know what package you could put together with picks from Chicago that it makes sense. Make it make sense.
Because they've got the 20th pick.
Right.
What are you going to get with the 20th pick in the second round as well? Like, no.
Deluxe nut package.
Yeah, there's just nothing there. I mean, I can't. Because as soon as Chicago would jump in with their whatever package,
yeah,
they're teams ahead of them that could beat those packages. Easily.
Yeah, I tell you what you do if you're the Texans, you take this deluxe nut package that's on the table from the Bears and you just
It's just a nut package. It's not a deluxe.
It's just straight planters. It ain't the deluxe planters. You take this and you leverage it against the other teams and say, this is the bare minimum of what we're going to accept and we're not going to accept this. That's the only thing I could figure that Chicago would even get involved in this. To me, they're not a player because they don't have enough. They don't have enough assets in order to make it make sense for the Texans. So, Chicago, I know they would love to have Deshaun Watson, but I just don't think you got what it takes to make it happen.
Yeah, I would love to hear the Herschel Walker package. Just the Herschel Walker package. Yeah, we're going to give you 17 picks. The highest one you could get from us is 20th.
I don't see it.
Wade Smith in for Clint Sterner. He's out. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. There is a thought, though, that the Texans do need to at least have some preparation of who will be their quarterback next year, especially trying to figure out what Deshaun Watson is going to do, whether that comes in trade or not, free agency or not. And I got to give credit to the OG. OG John Lopez last week brought this up, and I was thinking about it, and I'm like, that is strong. He talked about looking at the landscape of things and keeping an eye on Marcus Mariota, the former Tennessee Titan, played with the Raiders last year, Heisman Trophy winner with Oregon, and he makes a lot of sense. And let me say, when I say sense, he makes a lot of Texans decision-type sense. To where, all right, let's see, will the Texans say we'll play hardball with Deshaun, or will they say, no, we'll trade him and get something younger? You're still going to need somebody who's played in the league before to play, somebody who's played in the league before, Wade, that's willing to play for you and willing to try to go out there and be a starter here in this situation, which is Houston. And Marcus Mariota fits the culture.
Mm-hmm.
He fits that in a major way if you look at his background, which is a match for what it seems like the trio and the Texans want to do. He is not going to be real expensive and somebody who is willing to come here as a last-stitch effort. Now, if I were him, I don't know if I would come here, but I think he would be willing. Marcus Mariota makes a lot of sense for what it is the Texans want to look at doing.
Yeah, I don't see that there's going to be many franchises out there, except maybe like the Chicago Bears, that's going to give him a true opportunity to be the starter for that franchise and that organization. I just don't see that happening. But if the Texans, kind of like you mentioned, if they tried to play hardball with Deshaun Watson and have him sit, well, in the meantime, you got to have somebody that's going to take the snaps and try to make you as competitive as possible. Marcus Mariota does make a whole bunch of sense because he fits pretty much everything that the Texans would want in a player. He's going to come in here with something to prove. He's going to come in here basically, where this situation for him is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, or it's going to be an opportunity he can't get anywhere else. And so he's going to come in here and try to go out there and prove something to the powers that be and to the organization that he can be the franchise quarterback going forward. And so, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think OG was on it when he came to try to figure out who would fit into this particular situation here with the Texans. I don't get excited about that at all. I mean, I like Marcus Mariota with his ability to scramble and to run around. The game that I saw him play this year for the Raiders when he played, he made a bunch of plays with his feet, but he also made a bunch of mistakes. He's still a guy that I don't think you can count on to win you ball games consistently in NFL. But I think he's a heck of a backup, and I think he would love to get an opportunity to play here for the Texans. So he would
play for the right money.
Yeah, he's not somebody come here and ask for a bunch.
No, he's somebody who would want to be a starter and try to get tape out there to prove that he can still play. Right? And there aren't – I mean, how many situations around the league will be there for Marcus Mariota to have a chance to start? Like, it's very
maybe
much,
Chicago?
Maybe. That's it. Like, someone texted in Cam Newton. It's Cam Newton for me. It's a similar thing with Marcus Mariota, except Marcus Mariota fits that culture thing a lot better than a Cam Newton does. And is younger and is someone that will come in here and fit the mold of what they want. And I think OG was right on the money, because that's the type of quarterback that they're going to want to bring in. See, Sleazy, I want to bring you in because you have this theory of another quarterback that you think the Texans might want to go into.
It's going to be Alex Smith, man. It just makes too much sense. It's everyone's saying Washington football team's going to be moving on from him. And a lot of people think this is going to be more of a placeholder, maybe somebody a young guy could learn from.
Yeah.
And David Culley was the assistant head coach over him for 4 years in Kansas City. It just adds up.
That's not bad.
That makes a lot of sense as well.
It does. The David Culley factor means nothing. He doesn't have any decision-making power. But other
– Stop. Joe, we don't know that. We don't know that, do we? Do we know that? Do we know that he has no decision-making power? He's got a couple of Ravens on the staff. He had to have some part of that, right?
Yeah, he's not going to pick
tight ends coach.
He's not going to pick who the starting quarterback is. I'm going to tell you that right now. All right.
Alex Smith. I wouldn't mind Alex Smith.
But Alex is right. That's in the Mariota type of format. Somebody that wouldn't have a lot of chances anywhere else.
Yeah.
He's only got one leg.
But that one leg, he went 5-1 last year.
He was looking good out there before he got hurt again. So, I mean, and the guy that comes in here, my thing is this. I would feel better about Alex Smith being here if Deshaun Watson had gotten traded. If he's here and Deshaun Watson is sitting off to the side, it just makes it that much worse. Like, what are we doing here? Like, what are we really doing right now? And so... To me, if he's a placeholder until you got a younger guy, and he's learning after him, after you've made a trade, then I can see that. I wouldn't be mad at Alex Smith. Alex Smith is better than Marcus, so to me that would be a logical situation there as well.
Is he better than Marcus?
Alex Smith today, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Marcus.
Yeah, he's a better quarterback.
Marcus was pretty bad. Yeah, he was pretty bad. So yeah, we'll see who the next guy is. Those are the two type of guys that the Texans potentially will be looking at. All right, a big story in terms of moves that the Texans made today is they're bringing David Johnson back for a contract deal that's worth up to $6 million. We'll have to discuss why and what the biggest issue is with this deal, because the money is not that bad. But there is something that jumps out that is a really, really big deal here with the Texans. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Wade Smith, as soon as we sat down to start the show, we had breaking news, and the breaking news was the Texans have agreed to terms on a new contract with running back David Johnson. His one-year deal that they agreed upon could be worth up to $6 million with $4.25 million fully guaranteed at signing. He was guaranteed $2.1 million in the deal, in the guaranteed $2.1 million with his deal from last year. But now the Texans took it up and have agreed to bring the two sides together, and he'll be here with the Texans next year. Here is, and I want to see your thoughts on this, my thing that's the biggest issue. The money is for a little over $4 million. Is that big of a deal in the scheme of things? No. The hell is $6 million? No, right? But just like last year when people were flying off the handle about, you know, Eric Murray getting $6 million, like that was handcuffing the Texans in a major way with their cap. No,
like that's a different conversation. But go ahead.
I'm just saying ahead. The number. I'm just talking about the term and the number. But like this isn't like Deshaun's where you got to be right on it because it breaks your back, the contract. But here is the issue: is one of the things that Texans fans had a legit gripe about during the Bill O'Brien era was they would routinely seem to overpay for players.
Mm-hmm.
Examples or overpay or overgive in terms of trades like Tunzel and Steels. And some people would argue Nick Martin they overpaid for. David Johnson when he was traded the first time. There are many, many contracts. Whitney Mercilus, another. Overpay for. And this one, even though it's a small thing, Wade, it's like they were bidding against no one again. It's like they gave David Johnson, albeit small, but more than they had to. And that is something that you thought the Texans were getting away from with Nick Caserio in and him running things and the way that the Patriots have run things. This here, I have a hard time understanding teams around the league that they were in the battle with, that David Johnson had other options where he'd make this type of money. That's the part that I think is an issue of concern is, will this continue to happen down the line with bigger deals?
Well, I tell you what, man, as you were speaking through that, talking through that, I was thinking to myself, okay, the alternative if the Texans don't re-sign David Johnson is you let him go, and then now you have to bring in some other veteran presence into the locker room, because right now they don't have anyone over maybe year two or three in the NFL that's on the roster. And that being the case, that means that most likely you're going to have to pay a premium to get veteran guys to come here. So why pay $6 million or $7 million for a guy that's marginally better than David Johnson, as opposed to re-signing a guy you already got in the building to $4.25 million and $6 million with incentives? Like when I'm as you're talking through it, as I'm thinking about it, like, yeah, I mean, the money is it's not negligible, but it's not such a huge amount that you're going to say, all right, this is a deal breaker. I understand the whole sentiment of the Texans overpaying, but I will say this: in this transaction, the Texans saved money. And how much money they saved, who knows? We'll figure that out once they get the final details of the contracts coming out. But they did save money in this deal. That's why I gave it a C-. It's still a passing grade, because you had a player that was getting paid more money than what his production showed within his time with the organization. All right, we got to get that number down. They got the number down. I just thought they could have got it down more. But if David Johnson takes a hard stance like, no, I'm not taking less than whatever he got, then now you have to figure out somebody to replace David Johnson. And if you're going outside of the building, what veteran presence, what guy is going to want to come into this situation as it is currently constructed and give you a discount? That makes it difficult for you to operate.
Yeah, I hear your thoughts. I would throw this out. Could the Texans have somehow pulled off a deal with a veteran running back that was similar to what Carlos Hyde did? And Carlos Hyde, coming off the year Carlos Hyde had last year when he went to Seattle, he goes to Seattle, his contract the maximum is $4 million that he gets, and the guarantee that he got was $1.5 million. And he had a – you would look at him and had a better season than David Johnson. Could they have pulled that off to me? Because I don't, I'm wondering, and maybe you're right on this, I don't know if they had to get a veteran that would cost $6 to $7 million. Could they pull off a deal very similar to what Seattle did and have somebody come in that's $1.5 million?
They potentially could, but I think they really like David Johnson.
There we go.
They really like David Johnson, and that plays into it. That always is going to factor in of who you want to pay and who you choose not to pay. Do we like who this guy is, what this guy represents? Is he somebody that we know is going to be in the building 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning and leave the building at 10 o'clock at night? Is he one of those type of guys? We want those guys in the building. And we know him personally. We know his family, all of those type of things. We know this is the type of guy that's going to represent the organization at the best possible level. And when you if you let him go, you have to find somebody that's outside the building to do those things. But you already know David Johnson has those qualities. So that plays a factor into it. To me, that's why his number goes up from $2 million guaranteed to $4 million guaranteed. Like, hey, we're taking the amount of money you can potentially earn away from you because what you've done, you know, since you've been here shouldn't allow you to earn $8 million. But we like you and we know that you can be productive and we're going to use you the way that we think we can use you going forward and utilize you. So, hey, this is kind of our meeting in the middle. It's not a contentious negotiation or renegotiation. He's restructuring the contract, but it wasn't something contentious. It's like, hey, we got to work something out. And these types of things happen all the time in organizations. This is a normal occurrence. I just felt like they could have gotten that number down a little bit lower.
All right, 713-572-4610. We're here at Houston. You heard Wade's thought as a guy, former player in this league, understands how these things go. And I would challenge to you, Sleazy, y'all, when you hear that, that sounds like what you would hear from previously with the Texans. Like with a Whitney Mercilus, we like you, so we're willing to potentially give you more than maybe what you should get. And I think that is something that Texans fans really have had an issue with is we like you, Nick Martin. We like you, Whitney Mercilus. So we are willing to give you more than you would normally get from other teams. And that's just, that was something that I even thought with Nick Caserio, obviously I'm a believer now, that I thought with Nick Caserio was something that we wouldn't see anymore. Or when Bill O'Brien was let go, that we wouldn't see anymore. And now David Johnson, his little $4 million, and when I say little in terms of the NFL, his $4 million, that's one thing. But then down the line, how does that grow when Titus Howard's contract comes up and it's not that and it's not little?
Yeah.
Does he get more money because we like you? I think Texans fans thought that part of things was over, that the money you get is not dependent on how much we like you, but the money that you get is dependent on what we feel like you can do on the field.
No, you make a good point. And I think the difference now and what you saw then is when Bill O'Brien was in at the helm, it was such a overpay. They didn't have enough people in the building that knew what they were doing in order for them to have the patience to vet out and really do their due diligence on certain deals. That's why you saw the exorbitant overpays for, you know, Laremy Tunsil or the contracts for guys that you felt like, you know, Whitney Mercilus getting that overpay. I don't think it would be to that level. I think there's an element there that will still be here and will remain. Yeah. But I don't think it's going to be
is
to the level of what you've seen in the past. And I think that's a
is that's that an element in all in a lot of franchises?
And that's what I was going to get to. That is an element in any and every franchise, that they will give a little bit more to a guy that they feel like this guy fits us to a T.
Patriots.
The Patriots are the only organization that you really say, like, yeah, that's
which
that's
is
not
another
how
reason
operate.
Why I
and
thought
that's
there
why
maybe...
I had that's why I thought was, you know, you're going to get the shrewd Nick Caserio, And it's certain guys are going to get that shrewd treatment. No question. That's going to happen. I don't believe Nick Martin gets cut if Bill O'Brien is still at the helm. That was his guy.
Yeah.
I do believe that there is an element there here in Houston for some of the reasons you laid out. But I see that in other places as well. This is not an uncommon occurrence. But you can't get in the habit of doing this all the time with too many guys and in key spots and at significant enough dollar amounts. Because when you do, you get yourself in the position that the Texans are in now.
So you're saying that maybe the difference is this was something that Bill O'Brien, when he was leading things, him and Jack were leading things, they were doing as with the majority of the guys they signed, as opposed to maybe this may be.
I feel like if Nick Caserio wasn't here, they probably wouldn't have restructured him. They just would have just kept him the contract that he had it as it was. You know what I mean? Like,
anything's possible with the Texans.
I mean, who knows? I mean, they did restructure Zach Fulton last year, but I'm trying to remember, was that before Bill O'Brien got fired or was it after? I can't remember. Was that before the season started where he had to restructure? Because he got his contract restructured. I just can't remember exactly when it was. But to me, that was a deal that they gave him that they didn't use him right one, but he was being overpaid for what he was producing on the field. And so you gotta get those numbers right.
All right. Clint Sterner's out. Wade Smith is in. This is Clint Sterner in the show on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. I just saw this come across a couple minutes ago, and I am really curious what you all think about this and Houston thinks. I want to get your honest thoughts. 713-572-4610. You can text in, call in. From Texas Sports Nation, the Houston Rockets will retire James Harden's number 13.
Wait, what?
He's going to be returning with the Nets coming up soon. I'm not saying they're doing it then, but there is the report out of Texas Sports Nation. The Rockets will retire James Harden's number 13.
Wow. Rockets fans, are y'all rocking with this?
I completely. Now, I don't think it should go up right now. This is a little hot. I don't know why they made the decision to make that public right now.
I mean, it's like, but he just left.
But eventually, his number should go up. They said it'll be the seventh jersey number to be retired for the Houston Rockets. And James Harden's jersey should be retired for the Rockets. I just don't think the timing is great.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't. Tyler's shaking his head.
I think no. James Harden has been, what, top three player in the history of the Rockets?
Second.
You got Olajuwon.
Second.
Is there anybody? I mean, yeah, you can't say Drexler. I guess he's the second best Rocket ever, right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, someone say Tracy McGrady, but I think James Harden, he won an MVP. He got past the second round. I think James Harden is the second best behind Hakeem Olajuwon. His 8 years here, they made the playoffs every year. He won an MVP. He finished top three. He should be retired.
I'm surprised it's happening so soon.
I'm surprised. I don't know when it's happening. I'm surprised it's announced. Like, why? I don't get the
timing. I was thinking you're announcing it because you're getting ready to make it happen.
Yes.
That's surprising that it's happening so soon. It seemed like you
left. You think Rockets – I wonder, do Rockets fans have an issue with that? Tyler, you got an issue with that?
Hell yeah, man.
Oh, Lord.
Not only should they not be doing it right now, it should never happen.
Okay, now we're getting
– Dude, it is an honor. It isn't an award like getting into the Hall of Fame or something,
never?
Which I'm sure he will. But why would the organization honor a guy that spat in their face on his way out the door? That makes zero sense to me.
It does. His play warrants it.
No, his play was great. He's one of the best offensive weapons the game has ever seen. You don't retire his number in the city that he spit on as he left.
Once again, it wasn't the city he spit on. It was the organization.
No, this is he did things is completely different than what's going on with Deshaun.
I'm not saying it's the same. No, he spit in the face of his teammates. But it was,
he did talk bad about his teammates.
It was his teammates, but it wasn't the city of Houston he has problems with.
He did show up in the fat jacket. Yeah. He wasn't even big like that. He got to Brooklyn and lost 20 pounds.
Of his teammates.
He did kind of go out the wrong way
but I love this emotion and passion because many people are agreeing with you. What a total joke. I'm with you, Tyler. He's the second best player in the history of this organization. And it's not a second best player like –
Moses Malone, you go back far enough. He's arguably he's the second best. No question about it, right?
No one put
But the
run
fact
like
that you would put this up this soon, right after what just happened, that's really weird to me.
The timing is stupid, but I cannot agree with Sleazy on how many people do 713-572-4610. Looks like the Rockets are going to retire James Harden's jersey, and he says, hell no. Not only should it be not talked about now, which I agree, but Tyler, and there's many people on the text line agreeing that his jersey should never be retired. It most certainly should be retired.
I guess you got to look at it. It's a different thing when you're retiring a jersey within an organization. When you're retiring a jersey, that means that that person meant a certain thing to that city and to that organization for the entire time they were there, and you are on good terms, per se. Like, I don't think there's anybody. I think that matters when you're talking about retiring somebody's jersey within an organization. Like, okay, I look at it like this. I don't expect the Texans to ever retire Arian Foster's jersey. But Arian Foster is going to be and probably will be. He's right now and he's going to be for a long time the greatest running back in the history of the franchise. Now, he didn't do it at the level that James Harden did as far as being considered the MVP and all of that type stuff. But I don't see him ever getting his jersey retired or being in the Ring of Honor, even though when you look at the players in the organization, he's right there. He should be in it. Because they don't have a good relationship, not on good terms. So I wouldn't expect him to be in retired or be in the Ring of Honor or something like that. But retiring a jersey, that's something for somebody that you like. It's a different deal. It's not like, does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
Like,
he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame because that takes all of that other element out of it. But when you retire somebody's jersey within your organization, it's just different.
You're honoring them.
It's a little bit more subjective.
With all due respect.
It's a little bit more just subjective when you get to that.
With all due respect to Arian Foster, he's not on the same level of James Harden in terms of the greatness in his sport. Right? Like, and Arian Foster was really, really good. James Harden is going to be one of the top 40 or 50 players in the history of the game when he gets finished. And he is clearly the second best player you've had. And to me, if the Texans got on bad terms with J.J. Watt, J.J. Watt's jersey still should be retired. I don't give a damn how he walked out because he is the greatest player in the history of this organization. And if it wasn't for another all-time great, there are 19 other organizations that James Harden would be the best player in the history of their organization. I'm not sure. 19 maybe feels strong. But there are a lot of organizations where he would be the best. Hakeem Olajuwon here is the reason why he's the second best and he won a title here. I know you're not happy with how things ended here.
I think that plays into it, though. I think objectively what you're saying makes sense. Objectively, it makes sense. But when they retire a jersey, that is a subjective thing. Like, going into the Hall of Fame, that should be objective. Like, hey, you accomplished these certain tasks, you're a Hall of Famer. But to say that you would expect them to retire his jersey, that's a different thing. Now, does he deserve it based off his play? Yes. No question about it.
I want to pick this up again.
Text line is gone. Nuts.
Well, hell, the phone lines are going crazy. I mean, this is insane. We'll pick this up again. All right, coming up, the big news of the day here with the Texans. They've made a move for a guy who you cannot believe is still on this team. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.